Come on, bless him. Come on and bless him. I said, come on and bless the Lord. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. What an amazing, amazing trip. I've been to Africa many, many times. I've been going to Africa since 2002. I used to go twice a year in February and in August. And this blew the roof off of anything that we ever did. I mean, it was just an amazing trip. It's just been so wonderful. Zambia has been impacted so much, you know, and we're going back next year, okay? Just the way we're going in. All right. They already said, I told my home group. How many home groups going with me? Stand up. Already. Now, listen, understand something. I didn't even get back yet. I just got back yesterday, and there's 4 people already that want to go. All right? So get your passports. All right? Got to get a yellow fever shot and only a little pinch. And then it costs you $100. And they don't even ask you for it, really. It's a ripoff because they say you need this. And when you go to Joburg, they're going to ask you for it. They didn't ask me nothing. Just took my tickets and that with it. But anyway, it was just an amazing, amazing, amazing trip. We hit Zambia, Livingston, Zambia. We went to the Overlands Mission Bay, Phillip Smathers. Everybody knows that. Everybody's seen the Facebook. I had to sleep in a tent. All right? And all that, all right? But it was all good. It was all good. It was all good. It was all good. A little bit chilly for me, but it was all good. But anyway, Vaughn stayed there, and he was doing Overland Missions training. And we got there Wednesday, so we stayed there for a couple of days. And then he looked at me and said, Don, you guys are going into Livingston to pray with the Pastor Thomas, who will be coming in September or October. He don't know the exact date, so Pastor Thomas will be visiting us again. So he said, you're in charge, and he just turned us loose, right? And which made it easier for him to do what he had to do. But we hit Livingston, Zambia on Friday night, and they were having a prayer service, right? And Nelly called and said, well, she wanted me to share a word, a little bit of word. I'm telling you, we walked in this place. They were already praising and worshiping, and by the time I got up to preach, I was going to preach about the blind boy in John 9. The anointing was so strong, I had to stop. I had to stop. It was just crazy. I just stopped preaching and just, bang, the Holy Ghost hit that place. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Even that same night that Nelly called the guy who is the youth pastor for all the youth. He came over. It had to be like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. He just left and came over, and he started communicating. And Xavier, myself, and Ken laid hands up, started praying. This guy dropped to the floor, got up. He said, no, no, no. He said, we're going to go out. He said, would you meet me at 7:30 in the morning? All right? Teenagers from the age of 15 and young adults to 28, 7:30 in the morning, we were in the church praying with like 15 or 20 of them before we hit the streets, all right? We went out to the streets. We weren't out there 40 minutes. 21 people gave their life to Christ. 21 people, just like that. And them kids are so on fire for God that we impacted Pastor Thomas to the point that he said, Sunday, I got to bring the fire. He says, I got to preach fire in this place because we're King's fire. And that's what we carry, the glory of God and the fire of God. So it doesn't matter. That's why Vaughn always says, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell within. It doesn't matter where we put our feet. The fire of God is coming with us. And God took me into a whole another dimension of ministry and everything else. I mean, the fire, the power of God was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Even to a point of scary, but I don't get scary with God because I know if that's what he wants to do, that's what he wants to do. I mean, it was so amazing. We went up and down. We used to get up in the morning, go to this internet cafe to touch base with everybody back at home and get a little bit of coffee, which was terrible over there. And I thank God for Starbucks yesterday morning. Hallelujah. But anyway. We started walking down the street every day. And after a while, these people kept on saying, the pastor, they kept on saying. This guy, I was walking by one day, and this guy looked at me and said, I need Jesus. I said, all you got to do is accept him, all right? So he said, but I also need a Bible. So on the last day, we're going away, and I went by where he was. He wasn't there, and his buddy was there. And I said, hey, Philip, we started knowing people by name, all right? Even the street vendors, we knew them by name, and they knew us. All right. So I said, hey, Philip, I said, where's Steve at? He said, he ain't here. I said, well, tell him I have his Bible. I said, and I'm going to give it to one of the young boys because they exchanged numbers. And I said, he'll bring it to him. Now, me and Xavier started walking to the church. It was our last night. All of a sudden, I heard, wait. This guy ran about four blocks and said, you were going to leave without giving me my Bible? He ran up and came and found me. That's how hungry these people are for the word. That's how hungry they are for ministry. And this was just from walking down the street. There was this other guy. We're going down to the cafe, and I seen this guy, and I just looked at him. The Lord put him in my eyes. So I walked right on by him. So on the way coming back, I seen him. He started going like this, begging and going like that. And I just grabbed him. I said, silver and gold I don't have. I said, but in the name of Jesus, rise up. So I said, he said he wanted stuff. I said, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to give you no money, okay? And he, I mean, this brother looked bad. He was from the Congo. So Jacob, one of the street vendors, all right, we walked up to the street. We went to the Hungry Lion, which is like Kentucky Fried Chicken. And they give you chicken. It's called the Hungry Lion. So we walked into the Hungry Lion. I guess this guy used to be a menace or whatever, because when he walked in, everybody like, here he comes, you know. But I said, oh, no, he's with me. I said, that's my man. I put money to the money. I said, give him something to eat. All right. So we got him something to eat. And then I looked at him, and Jacob was talking to me, and he was talking about his clothes. So X-Man, Ken, and myself, we bought him new sneakers. We bought him new pants. We bought him a new shirt. But in the middle of this, the little guys from the church are with us, all right, and I'm giving them instructions what to do as far as that. And I'm standing in the middle of this doorway, which is called Pep's, a clothing store, not realizing that all these people are around us watching what's going on, watching us doing what we're doing, talking and everything else, talking about the Lord and everything else. So we bought this guy, like I said, shoes. We bought him pants. We bought him a shirt. And I had just bought two I Love You Jesus hats, right? So he had everything on, brand new, except for a hat. And he's looking like this, pointing, and I'm going, oh, Lord, come on, man, Jesus. So I gave him the hat. I gave one of my hat, the brown one, too. That's the one I wanted, too. But I'm going back. I'll get it. So I gave him the hat. And Ken took a picture of him before and an after picture. But when that boy put that hat on, his whole countenance changed from being a bum on the street to a guy that and glow, and everybody that was standing around that started clapping. It was amazing that all these people seen the love of Christ for somebody that we don't even know, but to have enough heart to, you know, to just bless this brother. All right? So I'll give you some of the highlights, too, because, well, here we go. So then we did everything. We're leaving. We're going to Bulawayo. All right? Here we are, we're going with this guy that Pastor Ephiel sent to pick us up. We couldn't find him. It was just a whole thing. Vaughn's all crazy. I said, Vaughn, just chill out. It's gonna I said, it's gonna work out. You know how Vaughn gets. Everything's in order with him. I said, Vaughn, just chill out, right? So here we are, we're going to Bulawayo. 130, whatever they call it, kilometers, 130. I'm looking at the 130, which is equal to like 70, 75 miles an hour. We're flying the Bulawayo, right? All of a sudden, the front tire goes, boom, right? Boom, and this guy's driving like this all of a sudden. And his phone rings, and the guy answers the phone. Hello? And Vaughn's looking like, I'm like, are you serious right now? Are you? We're going 70 miles an hour with a flat tire, and you saying hello on the phone. So finally he pull over, and he pulls out the spare tire, which is a Maypop, and we still got 3 hours to go. So we put this tire, and I'm praying the whole way, and this guy still runs. So then we get the Bulawayo, and on a word, there's this pastor, this guy we met, an apostle, his name is Colin Niati. This guy has 110 churches, all right? And on a word from Philip Smethers, he allowed me and Vaughn to preach in his church. We had to do 3 services back to back, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 a.m. And it was a 2-story building. I was downstairs, Vaughn was upstairs. I went upstairs, Vaughn came downstairs. Vaughn went upstairs, I came back downstairs. But they were truly blessed. They put us in this guest house with, like, for kings. We walked in the place. They had this thing, a bouquet of roses for me in my bedroom. Vaughn had it in his bedroom. But anyway, then X-Man, all right? Okay, let me tell you about X-Man. Xavier's new name is X-Man and the Demon Chicks, okay? Because all the Demon Chicks went to X-Man. Xavier's preaching in this church of one of Pastor Ephiel's sons. He's preaching in this church. He's ministering. All of a sudden, he says, all right, everybody come up. And he's ministering. This girl comes up. And Xavier says, okay, what do you want? She said, I've been having these terrible dreams, all right? Xavier lays his hand on her. She punches him in the jaw, rips his back, and he's fighting. He's going to come out in the name of Jesus. She's rolling all over. No, I'm not. Finally, they had to take her. The guy took his tie off and had to tie her feet, right? They carry her out. They carry her out of the sanctuary. X is on one hand. This other guy's on the other. Take her out the sanctuary. He goes back in, starts ministering, takes the offering, and by the time he goes down, now she's still acting up. Now they got her hands behind her back and her feet tied together, and they're still getting it, and he's stepping over it. So then we leave this place, and we're on our way to Zimbabwe now, right? So now we stop. We're hungry. We stop at this place called the Chicken Inn. You got the Chicken Inn, the Bakery Inn, the Ice Cream Inn, the Pizza Inn, all in one thing, all right? We're all sitting there in this booth. Vaughn, X-Man, Ken, and me. And all of a sudden, here comes demon number two. Walk right up to Xavier. He ain't even paying attention. Now, I'm laughing at this point. I'm looking up. I said, X-Man. And he looks up, and she's going, whatever she was saying. Anyway, she had this little boy. And Ken's going, hey, little boy. Hey, little boy. So I'm cracking up. So Vaughn's going, don't talk to the demon. Don't talk to the demon. He said, X, get rid of her. X, get rid of her. So Xavier goes ahead, the French fry, the little boy just snatches the hamburger out of her, and they were off. From that point, I was laughing. I said, a new movie coming to you, X-Man and the Demon Chicks. It was fun, but, I mean, we had so much. I mean, Vaughn, X, Ken, and myself bonded so much. I mean, because we had to be together. It was such an awesome thing to be together. But then I preached in this village in Songgwang. Vaughn hooked it up for me to go into the village. And I was preaching with this pastor, and he had like five or six other pastors. I had to be like 80 people there. And I started preaching, and the Holy Ghost showed up. It was so powerful. These ladies come up. They couldn't see. Their eyes was open. Lady couldn't hear. Her ear was open. This one girl was paralyzed all the way down one side. The Holy Ghost hit her. She hit the ground, got up. And then this other lady came to me, and her arm, she couldn't raise her arm. So I started praying for her. I said, well, how do you feel? She said, no good. I said, all right, lady, listen. You got to do this by faith, all right? You got to do this by faith. You got to work with me here, all right? So then I started praying for her again, and she took both of her arms and pushed them up like that. And as she did, I heard bones popping in her shoulder, pop, pop, pop. And all of a sudden, she was going like this. And this other girl got hit with the joy of the Lord hit that place, and it just broke out. And that pastor, man, he was so blessed, so blessed. I mean, the ministry was just received, and it was so blessed. And every place we went, and then we went to Pastor Ephiel's place, and we preached there at a conference, and everybody preached. Ken preached at Pastor Thomas's church, and he just shared his life. And, man, the Holy Ghost just came in that place, and they sang that song, Jesus, I Love You. But these girls infilled that thing and dropped us to our knees. I mean, it was so powerful just from them singing. It was just such a powerful time in the Lord. And, you know, we have a great work to do over there to partner with these ministries that just love us, because we didn't come over there. We didn't want nothing. Like Vaughn said, we got two promises. We ain't going to feel sorry for you, and you ain't getting no money, all right? So if you could deal with them two promises, we could work with you. So, and that's what it was. But God just used us in such a way that is unbelievable. Like I said, I've been going there since 2002. So many miracles that happened. And I said that to say this. Listen, you're never going to know what's inside of you until you make yourself available for God. And you ain't got to be a pastor. Ken ain't no pastor. They started calling him Pastor Ken. He ain't no pastor. But God used him mightily. He preached at Efield's church, and me, Vaughn, Xavier, and myself, we weren't even there because we were supposed to go into the jail, but the red tape and everything got in the way. So we went back to the guest house that they had for us in Zimbabwe, and Ken went all by himself, and he preached, man. And when we got back there, Efield said, I'm never going to forget the message that that man preached. He preached about coming out of Egypt and how it took God 40 years to get Egypt out of Moses, and then another 40 years to get to Egypt out of the children of Israel. And he said he'll never forget that. Ken's not a pastor. Ken's just part of this church. And I said that to say that. You're never going to know what God's got inside of you until you make yourself available. Get yourself on the plane. Stop making all these excuses why you can't, and find a way that you can. Because our Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it's going to take faith. You have to faith to believe and say, yes, I'm going to go. And then God is going to do the other steps. Amen? It was such a powerful time in the Lord that God just used us so mightily. The last place I preached, which in the same church, and the amazing thing is these are six different churches. They have six services, two going on at different praise and worship teams and everything, six different churches. And there's like 300, one, there was like 600 people in these churches. And the pastor at the end said to me, he said, man of God, he said, I'm going to tell you what, if you ever come back here, he said, I'm going to tell the apostle, I got to be in that meeting with you. That's how powerful it was that God was showing up and just moving on these people's lives. And as big as this ministry is, that Vaughn preached again at night, and in Bulawayo, and the guy came because he was at another church, the apostle, and that after Vaughn got finished preaching and ministering, he got up and he told the people, he said, listen, I've been around a lot of people. He said, this is an authentic prophet of God. And then we ministered to his leaders, and the Holy Ghost was just slamming them. Well, bang, bang, bang. It was just an awesome time. And, you know, Pastor Ephiel's looking for us to come back. Again, he's going to be coming, but he wants us to come back again. There's so much work. We could send a team to Zambia, a team to Bulawayo, a team to Zimbabwe, all at the same time. He's even going to start a Bible college using Dr. Leon's stuff. It was just, I mean, we just impacted the whole three countries that we were in. This impacted the whole thing. Why? Because of who we are. When I told them about the pastors, they were so blown away that we have seven pastoral teams and we don't argue and fight. They were like, what? You got how many? I said, we got seven of them. And I said, we don't argue, we don't fight. See, when there's unity in the spirit, God shows up. See, because the head cannot sit on a scattered body. Amen? But it was such a blessing to be used by God. It ain't about me, all right? It ain't about me. It's about the God flowing through me. And it's about the God flowing through you. But you're never going to know because you know what? You only got a Kingston vision. Until you get a vision for the nations, your life is never going to change because God can't do nothing. Why is he going to expand your life if you're just going to stay in this one place? And nobody says you have to go over there to live. But just become part of what's going on because it's going to transform your life. It transformed my life. And I did miss my wife so much. But it's just powerful. And understand, you're connected to something great. You're connected to something great. Through Vaughn and the ministers and the teams that go out, you're connected to something great. So do whatever you can. Take a chance. You done took a chance on everything else in your life. Take a chance and let God use you to bless somebody else's life. Them people, they can't wait. We got a team of young kids. I decided I have to go on Facebook only to communicate with people. So if you're one of them crazy people on Facebook, don't write no something crazy on me because I'm going to write something crazy back, okay? But I told them I have to do it to communicate. And one of the kids over there already done jumped on it, Andrew. These kids are on fire. These kids, man, I'm telling you, God released a fire in them. Because even Pastor Thomas said it took a team to come from America to make us evangelize our own city. All of them said the same thing. You know, it took these guys to come here to make us do what we're supposed to do. But that's the type of church we are. That's why we go out in the street. That's why we go to the jail. Because we know what the call of God is on our life. So I just wanted to, you know, Vaughn and I'm going to fill you in on a little bit more. I just wanted to give you that little bit of tidbit. But I thank you all for your prayers, because I know it was all fueled through prayer. For all those who stayed in intercession for us, you know what I mean? Because God was just showing us that we were going to run into demonic forces, you know? Tires blowing and all that other stuff was just stopping us to get to the place to, you know what I mean, release the word, you know what I mean, and touch people's lives. But you can't let that stuff get in the way, you know? And, you know, Vaughn was saying, you know, how this was the best trip he ever had. But I had to remind him, I said, Vaughn, that's what you prayed Sunday when we were at church, that it was going to be different for me and you, even though we've been to Africa so many times, that this was going to be something totally different. And God honored that prayer. God honors your prayers, especially for him and to glorify him. Amen? Amen? Amen. Come on, bless the Lord, because all of you are part of it. And one more thing. We also ate that offering that we took up for the widows and the orphans. We had a chance to go be with the orphans. And, you know, these kids have been left in the street, some of them incest, molested, raped, little babies left in the street, you know, to teenagers and everything else. But some of that money Vaughn gave to Ephiel's wife, and we went and ate dinner with them. And they had chicken, they had beef, they had rice, and they had ice cream. Because usually their staple is Shima. Oh, I ate Shima too. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. You know, I ate with the people. So usually we used to go, the other ministry, and we used to stay in a hotel. I was in the villages, ate with the people and everything else. That's why they were so receptive. But anyway, we got to eat with the orphans, and it was such a blessing. You blessed them. Give yourselves a hand, Kingsfire, because you blessed them. Some of that money Vaughn gave to them, they were able to have chicken, beef, and rice, and ice cream. It's a treat, because usually they just eat beans, or usually they just eat rice. And them little kids were just smiling. They kept eating and eating and eating and eating and eating and eating. But it was such a blessing to be in the midst. And after they had one little girl that came up and, you know, said thank you for all of them. But all of you are part of that. You understand? When we say when you give, you're touching other people's lives right here from Lake Katrine, whose lives would have never been touched like that. All these little kids with these smiling faces. I forgot the little chip that I had and everything. And I got in there in the cage with the cheetahs and everything else. Because we met one of the little girls that we're now evangelizing with us. Her name is, what is her name? It'll come to me in a minute. But she is Chief McCooney's granddaughter, the chief that runs the whole show. This guy took time out. She said, Grandpa, I got some friends from church. I want you to take them to your place. And he stopped what he was doing, came and picked us up, and took us to the Big Five, to the place where he got lions and cheetahs. We were able to go in there in the cage with the one-year-old cheetahs. And he's a real funny guy. So he says, yeah, that's the lions. Go ahead, let them in now. I said, you must be crazy. Said, I am not going in there. I got faith, but I ain't going in there. Not with them dudes. I mean, the heads on them is like this. I said, no way. I said, I trust you with them little cubs, but I ain't trusting you with them boys. But anyway, he's having, I asked him when they're going to do that tribal, when they do their tribal thing. It's going to be sometime in August, so we'll have to weigh the stuff out because me and Vaughn were talking, so we're going to wait for Dr. Leon, who's coming, since, you know, Vaughn is hooked up with Leon as far as, you know, the missions and everything else. But I'm going to encourage you all, start praying now, all right? So it probably won't be to sometime in May or August that we're going to go, but start praying now. You know, we're going to start doing fundraisers and everything else to help, you know, with people, but most of the money is going to be raised to help them. I mean, these people are dirt poor. But the joy of the Lord, you know, and the more they heard that we're there, the more people started showing up, you know, the more people started showing up. So you have what it takes. It's not just me. You know, I just heard the call of God years ago in my life, and I just responded to the call. And God's no respecter of persons. If you respond to the call, God will do the same thing in your life. And it's not about titles. It's not about title. You have a title. I'm a believer. And as a believer, he said, if you can believe, you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall cast out demons if you believe. So you already got a title. You're in a great church. You're being taught on Sunday mornings. It's the word, the living word living inside of me. That's it that I release each and every day. Because God lives inside of me through his word. Amen? And he wants to live in through each and every one of you. All right, I'm going to preach. And I told you before, God used me in a dimension that I've never been used before. All right? And I'm going to preach to you, and God is going to show up. I guarantee it. And I'm bold. It said the righteous are bold as a lion. God is going to show up. I'm going to preach a little bit about the woman in the well. Not the woman at the well. The woman with the issue of blood. Okay? And those of you who are sick ain't going to be sick no more. Because if I see God just touch people that were paralyzed, this girl couldn't move. And when I just touched her, she hit the ground and got up and started running. Done. But you know why? All that other stuff is in the way over here. And you got to get all that other stuff out the way. See, because we got CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens, and all that out. Take a pill. Let me go see the doctor. Get a needle. They ain't got that. So it's all by faith. And we the faith people. Amen? So I'm going to be short with it, but God's going to show up. Turn to Matthew 9. And I just want to show you something because the times I preached over there, I didn't have no notes. And I told God, there has to be enough of me. You know, see, because notes are good as you're training to get up there. But once you've been walking with God as long as that, you should be able to listen to the Holy Ghost and have him just say, preach this. All right? I'm not saying don't do it. Do it. But when the Holy Ghost shows up, you got to get out the way. All right? That's just a format. That's just a launching pad. But once you get the plane up in the air, you got to give the controls to him. Amen? Let's go in Matthew 9. And I'm just going to read two short verses, 9:20. Now, this is one of them synoptic gospels, which means it's in Matthew, it's in Mark, and it's in Luke. All right? Which means they all give an account of the same story. All right? Everybody understand that? Okay? So it says in verse 20, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. She said to herself, if only I may touch the hem of his garments, I shall be made well. Let me stop there for a minute. Everybody up here that came up here was talking about what? Speaking something, right? I knew I was in the right place when Josh, because I didn't know I was going to speak. And Josh said, you got something? Go ahead. And automatically, bang, it hit me what I was going to speak about. But then he confirmed it because when he got up, he said, if you don't speak it, it ain't going to happen. Somebody else said, if you don't get up, speak it, it ain't going to happen. This is what this lady did. She spoke about it, all right? And it said, but Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Instantly. Now go to Matthew 14 right quick. Verses 34 and 35 and 36, the quick ones. It says, many touched him and were made well. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they went out into all the surrounding regions, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Touching Jesus by faith. Touching Jesus by faith. A lot of times we want Jesus to touch us, but he's saying, no, I want you to touch me. Because these men in the one town recognized who it was. They recognized it was Jesus. They recognized the power that lived inside of him. All right? They recognized the miracles. All right? They recognized everything that was going on. But with this woman, with the issue of blood, remember it's 12 years. All right? If you had an issue of blood, you were considered unclean. So this lady didn't have no relationships with her family, with her husband, with a community of believers. She had no relationship with nobody. This went on for 12 years. Could you imagine being outcasted for 12 years, nothing in your life, only because you have an issue of blood? And a lot of you has got a lot of issues. A lot of you are bleeding in a lot of areas of your life, been bleeding for years, over relationships, over jobs, over everything else. But see, until you get to the point that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, nothing's going to change in your life. See, you done became comfortable with your sickness. You became comfortable with being less than. You became comfortable with everything that Jesus Christ died for you to have the victory over. You became comfortable with it. And then you reinforce it by the people who are around you. Say, yes, I understand. Why? Because they don't want to get up out of the place because they're at, because misery loves company. But you have to get to a point that you want to touch Jesus by faith. Anybody taking notes? I want you to write these four things down and think about it. She heard, she believed, she spoke, and then she moved. That's what this woman did. All right? She heard, she believed, she spoke, and then she moved. And if you want your life to change, that's the thing that you have to understand. Because this is just Matthew's account. In Mark and in Luke's account, they said that the woman heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. How much have you heard about Jesus? How long have you been in church? You've heard about Jesus too. You heard about his miracle power. You hear about the things that he could do. But do you believe it? See, it's one thing to hear, then it's another thing to believe. See, because 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, remember, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. How much faith do you have to touch God? How much faith do you really have to touch him that the power comes up out of him? Because in Luke, he said, somebody touched me. Peter said, somebody touched you. He said, look around. You see all these people and you're saying somebody touched you? He said, no, I perceive power has left me. See, when you touch God by faith, Sutton leaves him. And he understands that. Sutton left Jesus. He knew somebody just didn't bump him. No, you touched me. I felt a touch of faith hit me. That was different in the midst of all the people. The Bible doesn't tell us how many people, but it said it thronged him. Amen? So you have to understand. It says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Until you start opening up your mouth, nothing is going to change in your life. As long as you can let the enemy keep your mouth silent, nothing's going to happen. You keep saying, I can't, it's never going to. But as soon as you start saying and believing that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, something's going to happen in your life. Something is going to happen in your life. Because there's a thing about the gospel. God's word always demands a response. Always demands a response. Because the gospel is either going to draw you to Jesus or it's going to push you away from Jesus. But see, this woman was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And as I was telling him over there, could you imagine? 12 years, this woman had to be weak of bleeding for 12 years. Probably took every ounce of strength out of her. But you know what? When she spoke, it said that she heard, she believed, she spoke, but then she moved. She said, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. She spoke her own healing, but she had to do something. See, a lot of you talk about faith, but faith has to have corresponding action. You can't say, I want a job and don't go fill out no application. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. See, that's that stuff you think God's going to drop it right in your living room. You're going to sit on the couch doing this and talk about crying to the pastors and everybody, I ain't got a job. Listen, I don't care what this recession says and all that. God got a job for you. Somebody else is messing up right now that they're getting ready to get fired, and you're going to get the job. But if you don't have faith enough to believe it, it's never going to happen. The Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. But you don't believe you're righteous enough to go step into something. But see, this lady got sick and tired of being sick and tired. She got sick and tired of being without. And when you get sick and tired of being without, something's going to happen in your life. So like she said that she heard, she believed. It said that she heard about Jesus. She heard about all the miracles. She believed. Then she spoke, but then she moved. Could you imagine 12 years of this issue of blood flowing, everything taken out of her? She was probably so weak and so feeble. And it said that there was a crowd that thronged Jesus. So she had to push through the crowd. She had to push through all them people saying, oh, there's that nasty, unclean thing. Oh, you're nasty. And the problem with some of you don't want to touch Jesus because you think your sinful lives before you came to Jesus still makes you unclean. No, it don't. The blood of Jesus cleanses everything. You have a right to your healing. You have a right to your prosperity. You have a right to peace. You have a right to have a good marriage. You have a right to have children that's in order. You have a right because of what Jesus Christ did. And what you got to do, you got to be like this woman. You got to move. She moved. She pushed through the crowd. She didn't care what they said because her healing was more important than anything else. And I don't know what you're battling with because all of us are battling with something. Just because we came to Christ, it don't wipe everything away from us. We're not exonerated from the things that are in this life, but it was her faith. Because that's why Paul said in Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that, it is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Your faith is a gift. But a lot of you don't want to receive it. You know how to give, but you don't know how to receive. That's why you can't receive the healing. That's why you can't receive the prosperity, because you have to receive it. The Bible says in John, that John 1, it said that he came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received, he gave them the power to become the sons of God and the daughter. When I say sons, I'm talking about daughters too. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Go to your father. Go to your father. You know, it's time for us to realize we don't have to be. We have to touch Jesus by faith, because that's what she said. I don't know what happened. I don't know what transpired. But I know one day she got up and she said, I know because I heard. And I believe. And I can see her just dragging her little weak body. I heard, but I believe. And if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole. Bang! And it said instantly. Instantly she was made whole. You know what wholeness is? Nothing missing, nothing broken. She got her family back because in Luke it says that she spent everything that she had and her condition got worse. And that's where a lot of people are at right now. You done did everything you know. You done trusted this one. You done trusted that one. We done trusted the government. You done trusted your job. You done trusted the doctors. You just trusted everybody. And it seems like things are getting worse. But you got to be like this woman. You got to have enough faith inside of you to say, I'm going to be like her. See, because I don't care what's going on in your life. If you can find it in the Bible, my Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I don't know what your condition is today, but if you have faith just like that woman, and you're willing to step up and touch Jesus by faith, your life is going to be made whole. Your life is going to be made whole. That's what happened to that woman. Everything. That's what shalom means, peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. She got her relationships back. She got her money back. She got her health back. She got everything back. But she had to do something. She didn't sit here whining and crying about her condition. She said, no, I want to do something about this. I want to do something about this. But you got to remember, Paul said that we have been saved by faith. Have been, past tense. Jesus has already went to the cross. All right? This is when Jesus was alive. Jesus already went to the cross. And the same blood and the same power is still alive today to do whatever God you need God to do in your life. But the thing of it is, are you going to touch Jesus by faith? Are you going to allow your faith? Are you going to step out the boat and say, God, I want it today. I want it today. I want it today. Because that's the heart cry. That should be your heart cry. I don't know who's sick and tired of being sick and tired. I know I am. Because I know there's some things that I got to change in my life as well. In order to get to the place that God wants me to be. In the place that God wants you to be. But it's all about your faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Close your eyes for a minute. Just close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to get real with yourself. Get real with yourself. What is blocking you? What has been in your life that has been blocking you? What is the heartache that you know that nobody else knows that's in your life? And that's the thing that you have to say right now. Say, I heard, I believe, and I'm going to speak to that mountain right now. And I'm going to move into my healing. Into my blessing, into my prosperity. Everything is going to be whole in my life from this day forward.